What's happening? It's your boy 911 and you're tuned in to AVG Podcast, man. As always, man, you know how we do it. Let's get to it. So today, we have a very special guest, man. One of the best followers on Twitter. If you're not following him on Twitter, by the end of this interview, I promise you, you will go to his account and follow. What's up, Kelly? How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. First off, I want to thank you for, I reached out to you. Man, you responded ASAP, said I got you. I want to just say thank you for popping up and showing up for me tonight.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Cowboys Nation's family.
You already know. Cowboys Nation, we're going to start right there. This is what this whole podcast is about. We tapping into this new year, new season, new beginning. All the fans out there, what can we tell them this year? What are we expecting from our Cowboys this year?
Well, you know, hopefully something different than what we've been experiencing the past several years, because there's been a lot of heartbreak Cowboys fans. So hopefully it's going to be something different this year. You know, I'm trying to maintain an optimistic view about the Cowboys. So, they definitely have some obstacles this year. I think they got some obstacles to overcome on that offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, early on with wide receiver, they got some issues there because they don't have a lot of depth. They're going to have to wait for Michael Gallup. It sounds like he's going to be back sooner than later, though, because they decided not to put him on the PUP list. So He's going to take up that roster spot, which, you know, if he's going to be back after a couple of games, then good. But, you know, we got some obstacles to overcome, but I still like the Cowboys' chances to, you know, at least win the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then from there, once you get in the playoffs, man, that's all you can ask for. You know, you just...
Just
you,
getting the dance.
Get a shot. Everybody needs a shot.
Mm-hmm. So let's start with the receiver core. Let's start right there. So we now know CD with Amari Cooper moving on, going to Cleveland. He'll be the number one guy. As far as the receiver core, what type of confidence you have in him?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to, you know, what I'm most interested in is I think that a lot of teams are going to be looking to double CeeDee Lamb. I think they're going to try to lock him up early and often because they know he's going to be our number one threat. And I think it's going to be on a lot of these other guys to step up and produce. I think we know what we're going to get from CeeDee Lamb. I feel like he's going to have a great season,
mm-hmm.
even with getting a lot more attention. I think he's going to have a breakout season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for him to be able to shine and be that, you know, to be that number one, because he didn't always get the targets that, you know, that you thought he should get last year. Because, you know, you got Amari Cooper out there, so you got two, you know, basically two number one receivers out there and only one football to throw it to them. So
Thanks. This
year you got your number one, and now you're going to spread it around. So I think, you know, I like what we got in the tight end position too, you know, because, you know, a lot of people focus on the wide receivers, but also, mm-hmm. you know, Dalton Schultz is going to be heavily involved in that passing game. Mm-hmm. And I think that the new tight end that we got, that rookie at Ferguson, I think he's going to be involved in that passing game. I mean, he looked pretty sharp in the preseason too. So
yeah.
I think we're going to see some heavy usage out of the tight ends, and hopefully, if training camp's any indicator, they can get Pollard involved in this passing game. So
please.
I think we got some weapons. Then you add in a guy like Turpin,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because everybody knows about the kick return and the punt return. I mean, he's a great returner, but, you know, he's also a guy that you can get out in space and make some things happen. So I think the Cowboys got some weapons, you know, some low-key weapons that right now nobody's really talking about it. You know, outside of Cowboys Nation, everybody just sees the lack of star power. You know what I mean? You got CeeDee Lamb, and then there's a drop-off.
Yeah.
Because Michael Gallup ain't there. But I don't think a lot of people know some of these guys could be, you know, Turpin could be a sneaky good guy, and nobody's really prepared for to see Pollard. Pollard was lining up at slot in, you know, in training camp. So I think we're going to see some things that's going to surprise some people this year in the passing game, honestly.
Okay. Look, I'm glad you mentioned Pollard, because that's been some of my concern the last couple of seasons. It's just Pollard is a special talent. He kind of reminds me of like Brian Westbrook back in the day. You can do a lot with him, and I don't think we've kind of maxed out his potential, so to speak. I know we still have Zeke. Where you at with Zeke? How much thread you think Zeke still got on the tie?
Well, if he could stay healthy this year, I thought last year, you know, to start the season, man, he looked like a different running back.
He did.
You know, I noticed right away, you know, he was posting them workout videos and making them jump cuts. And, you know, I mean, and I'm thinking, you know, a lot of people do that, post the workout videos. But
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
he really worked on, you know, on getting himself into top physical shape. And you could tell it early on in the season, like he had that, looked like he had that burst, you know, that he had as a rookie, looked like he had that bat, you know. And then he, you know, after a few games, I think it was 4 or 5 games of the season, he got that injury and then just never really looked the same, you know. He's, you know, it hampered him. But I think provided that he can, you know, stay healthy and not, you know, end up with an injury again, which, I mean, he hasn't really shown that he's injury prone. I think Zeke can still be a good running back, where I think he's going to get, you know, over 1,000 yards rushing.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, you know, like you said, Pollard's an underutilized weapon. They don't have to continue to put all these miles on Zeke.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I mean, utilize them both. I've mentioned it a lot to, you know, to different people that I've been on some different podcasts with, is that I kind of look at those guys, the Zeke and Pollard, and I kind of look at them almost like what the Saints had when they had Kamara and Ingram.
Man,
you know what I mean?
Words up on my, like, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you know, but we don't utilize Pollard near the way that they utilize Kamara. But I think he's the same kind of back. You can use him as a passing threat.
Exactly.
You know, he's a shifty guy, that east west type runner. Zeke's the north south power guy that you know, when you get down towards that end zone, you know, power it in with Zeke. So they've got a unique situation with these two running backs, and they just have not utilized it the way that us fans would like to see. So hopefully this year there's a change in philosophy with Kellen Moore, and they really start to get Pollard more involved, because there's no reason not to. And, you know, why would you not utilize a weapon like that?
And see, that's what I was saying, because last year what I started noticing is when I think Zeke kind of, he was hampered towards the end of the season, but it created a divide. And, like, that's why I like engaging with, like, Cowboy fans like you, with some other Cowboy fans. Because, like, people say Cowboy fans are annoying. You know, we hear this shit all the time. Every fan base got an annoying fan, but we're just the biggest fan base. So it caused a divide between the Cowboys, like, man, play power, sit Zeke down. Nah, Pollard couldn't do what Zeke did in the pass protection, and Zeke couldn't do some of the things Pollard did in space. I thought is just what you said. You hit it perfect. It's a dual back system. No running back in the league is valued to the point where you're going to be an every down back anymore. So my whole thing was like, why not get a little more creative and get Zeke out of some of those first, we know we're going to give you the ball 3 yards in a cloud of dust situations, and hit Pollard on the screen, or just do some more creativity, kind of like you just broke down. We're getting Pollard more involved to save a little bit of that thread, so when you do work down the field, you got a fresh Zeke working on a 3rd and 3 versus he's been working all the way down the field, and you steady feeding him the ball, and we're getting those same results. So what you said right there was just key, but a lot of this too is going to depend on line protection. Where you at with our line this year?
Yeah, that to me is our biggest right now. To me is our biggest weakness. Now, what I will say is that I think this line has the capability to get better as the season goes on.
Gotcha.
I think early on in the season, I think we're going to see some struggles because, I mean, you've got some inexperience at these positions. You know, I mean, I'm Tyler Smith. I mean, they drafted him to play at that left tackle position, but during the preseason, he was playing at left guard, so he wasn't getting that left tackle snaps and reps. So he's going to be thrown in there and basically forced to play that left tackle position now because Tyron Smith is injured and going to be out till December. So, you know, you're going to have some inexperience at several of these positions along the line. And so I think you're going to see some struggles early on. I think you're going to probably see some penalties. I think you're going to have to see, you know, I think this is like you said about Zeke in the pass protection game. You're going to see Zeke back there protecting Dak a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to run a lot of these, you know, these protection schemes where they've got, you know, they may have these running backs, you know, or at least Zeke back there blocking. And hopefully, you know, Ferguson, that new tight end, can do a better job blocking than Dalton Schultz. He's not a very good blocker there, but We're gonna need some help for sure along that blocking scheme. So I'm a little nervous about that. They're just gonna have to get, you know, they're gonna have to get creative with it though. That's what they pay Kellen Moore the big bucks for, man, is to you know, figure out the schemes and figure out the, you know, the how best to utilize this offensive line that may be kind of experienced, look maybe a little bit shaky, use them with the talent that you have. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, but I mean, it's definitely a cause for concern early on. I mean, I think that's our biggest weakness on the team right now. And, you know, they still really haven't addressed it. I mean, I know that they had talked about picking up an offensive lineman. They were talking about trading some guy from the Jets. I honestly had never heard of the guy, but you know, it'd be nice if they brought in one of these veterans that are out there that you know,
slow learning,
get
curve.
Some veteran experience. It's not like we're expecting them to be an all pro, but serviceable at least. You know what I mean?
At least serviceable.
Yeah.
And okay, so, speaking of the line, you know who they're protecting. We got our high-dollar quarterback back there now. And I see across social media, everybody rise deck. I know we ended the season on a sour note, you know, not knowing the situation and stuff like that. I believe we have a franchise quarterback, and I believe he can win the big game and take us to the next level. What do you say to those? Because it's still that fan base now. You got that quiet Romo corner. And I was a guy, even when guys were going hard against Romo, I'm like, you got to think about what he's working with, the situations he's put in. Romo had his favorite player was Brent Favre. He had a little bit of that gunslinger mentality. He was coming from a lot of games playing late. But you had that quiet corner like Romo still. And they're judging Dak against that and then against his other contemporaries throughout the league. Where are you at with Dak? How you feel about Dak?
Well, I mean, I've been pretty vocal about him. You know, I think he's the guy. I was disappointed at the end of the. I was disappointed in that playoff game. I didn't think he played his greatest ball in that playoff game.
Yes.
But you know, look top to bottom, I don't think anybody really played great. You know,
good
I don't
point.
Think that that you know if you asked him honestly, I think our best player, you know, top to bottom, I think probably is Michael Parsons right now. Dude plays out of his world.
Dude,
I think he'd tell you he didn't play his best game. You know, Diggs didn't play his best game. I mean, a lot of people across that, across the, you know, the whole roster didn't play their best game. But when it comes to Dak, I mean, I think he's the ultimate leader. I think he's the guy that you look to that does, you know, he just seems like he
stand-up
don't ever
guy.
Look down. He doesn't ever look phased by the situation. You know, he looks like he's capable of handling it. And absolutely, I think he's a franchise quarterback. And I think in order to win in this league, I think you have to have a franchise quarterback. And we got the franchise quarterback.
Thanks.
So, you know, if we can, it doesn't have to always rely on the offense. That's the thing. You know, people look towards the quarterback, and especially if you got a franchise, they're like, well, he should carry this team. You know, the Dak should carry this team. But I mean, There's not really any quarterbacks in this league that is just the quarterback carrying him on his back. It's a 53-man roster.
Thanks.
No one quarterback is capable of carrying an entire team.
Thanks.
You know, I mean, they talk about Aaron Rodgers like he's the greatest quarterback to ever play. There's certain groups of those people that think that. I mean, but look at the guy. I mean, he won a Super Bowl, but since then, what's he done? I mean, he has been coming up short in the playoffs. Sure, he's won a few games in the playoffs. He might have got a little bit further than Dak Scott, but what does that count for?
Do you, all
I mean, do you count playoff wins as like participation trophies, or are you
all
playing
facts.
For a Super Bowl?
It's certain, you know, it's certain franchises that just getting that don't matter. We wanted them franchise, Green Bay, so that's all facts you're spitting.
That's right. So, I mean, you know, when people talk about, you know, hey, well, you know, this team got more playoff wins, this team's won more playoff wins than Dallas. I said, well, don't tell me about playoff wins. Let me know about Super Bowl wins, because that's the only thing that we concentrate on. Like,
man,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to go into the playoffs and win, you know, two games in the playoffs or get to the Super Bowl and then lose it. Like, I want to win the whole thing. Like, at the end of the season, if it don't end in a Super Bowl trophy for me, you know, if it don't end in a title for me, that's a disappointment.
Because
it's another year we went without winning a championship. I want to win. I want to see him win the whole thing.
Thank you. And look, just for a backdrop, I've been a Cowboys fan all my life. I told you, you know, we kind of talked a little bit before we got on. I'm from Louisiana. My whole family around me are Saints fans, but my dad was a Cowboy fan. Tom Landry, he coached Little League football, wore the hats, walking down the sideline. So I bred the Cowboys growing up, bust my head Christmas Eve with Cowboys jersey on. So I, even though I'm from Louisiana, I grew up a Cowboy fan. Let the people know, like, how long you've been on this train with the Cowboys.
since I was 12. I mean, my mom has been a Cowboys fan. She was born and raised in Texas, and then so was my dad. So my mom was a Cowboys fan and kind of brought me into it. You know, I went to it was a Super Bowl party in 92 when the Cowboys put a whooping on the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, sir.
It was the first Cowboys game I ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, it was history. So I seen the Super Bowl, watched the win in 93 when they beat the Bills again, and then I saw them, you know, in the 95 when they beat Steelers. So I mean, ever since then I've been a Cowboys fan. And yeah, it's tough though, you know, starting out when you're that young, and because I was 12 and 92, so
oh.
I mean, I'm sitting there thinking that
this is the
Super Bowl, you know, every year. I'm like, man,
yes,
you know,
sir.
I kind of felt like I compared them. I back in the 90s, I was comparing the Cowboys kind of like to the Chicago Bulls. Like, I felt like we was like the Chicago Bulls. Like, we're going to win this thing, like, every year, man. You know, we got the
yes,
triplets. And, I mean, you know, and then little did I know that, you know, at 15, you know, going on 16, that's going to be the last time I was going to see a Super Bowl. Now I'm sitting here 41 years old talking about 1995 is the last time I seen my team win a championship. And I ain't seen another team win a championship. Like, none of my teams have won since. I mean, the Cowboys are the only ones I've ever seen win at all. So,
yeah,
like, I ain't got nothing to hang my hat on besides the Cowboys. I'm like, come on, man, we got to get another one.
Look, I'm going to tell you a fun fact, man. Like, it's funny you said the Bulls, because of course, like, I grew up Jordan era just like every other kid across America. So the Bulls were my team and the Cowboys were my team. So I was spoiled early on as a sports fan too. But fun fact, the Bills backup running back Kenneth Davis was actually my high school offensive coordinator, and I used to mess with him all the time about the quarterback, about the Cowboys and all that, just messing with him, digging. He was a cool dude though, man. I love that dude. He put me in Dunn. He said, "You're gonna be my Dunn BB in this offense." But that was my guy, Kenneth Davis, man. Check this man, out though, Kelly.
It's crazy what we go through as Cowboys fans.
Man, it's a tough road. That's why I know anybody that's on this, if you got that star on your head, I know you a law person, because we have not provided much to be loyal to over the last couple decades. But the guys that show up, because people think like we got the most obnoxious fans. I'm like, are you serious, man? Every fan talks crazy. Because I heard fans from every fan base that's talking crazy. I'm like, do you really think you have a shot? We got our pocket of fans. But then you got the fans that we get the brunt of it too. The fans that don't say nothing. We kind of sit back and watch, want to see the season, just enjoy the football season. We catch what the dumb fans do.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when it boils down to it, I mean, you know, I've been saying this for the last several years. I'm like, look, I mean, you know, you can't sit there and talk about how we've only won three playoff games since 1999, but then in the same breath you sit there and talk about, you know, we're annoying because every year we say we're going to win it. Well, if we think we got a shot after only three playoff wins since 1995, that don't make us annoying. That makes us loyal.
Because
we still keep coming back to the table with that ultimate belief that our team can get it done. And I mean, I think that's the point of every team.
Like, every team.
Who really comes into the season going, well, we ain't got no shot. I don't even want to watch us play this year. Like, no,
exactly.
You do that because you got the hope of winning.
Exactly. And then what I tell everybody is, anybody as a competitor, if you have a good squad, you're trying to compete to win the big one. You're not competing, as you say, to get to the dance. Or no, you're playing when you're one of these historic franchises in every sport. Yankees, Lakers, Boston. You don't go into any season with other than the expectations of winning it all. If you
exactly.
come into that locker room or that in that stadium and expect anything less, you're not, you don't know the history of that franchise.
Right. Yeah. And that's what every single one of those players on that roster is going to say. When they're going to say, what's your expectation for the season? We want to win a Super Bowl. You don't hear nobody sitting there talking about, well, we want to win the NFC East. Like,
exactly.
You know, that's not the goal. Like, it's to win a Super Bowl. And that's what everybody's goal is in there. And I'll say this, and I don't have any problem with anybody that does, because I don't tell anybody how to be a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to buy any NFC championship, NFC East title gear. I just don't do it.
Don't do it.
I don't got no problem. Nobody does it. I don't do it, though.
Yeah.
I don't do it because I'm like, I ain't gonna buy no gear like that unless it says Super Bowl champions on it. Now, man, when that happens, when the Cowboys win a Super Bowl and they get number six, my closet gonna be full of championship gear. I can promise you that.
Because I can't wait. And I'm gonna tell you one other thing that I do too, that I hate to hear people say, y'all hadn't won a championship since this, or you only did this, the last championship was this, or you won. Then my rebuttal to them is, do you understand? Because it be from franchises that's won one, none, zero. I don't care when they won it, it still is one. So that lets you know if you, like, I'm from Louisiana. I get a lot of flack from Saints because, like I say, I'm from Louisiana. You won one. To me, if you have one Super Bowl victory in your franchise, that's like buying a lottery ticket and being a winner. You got lucky one year. And if you don't have anything else to show for it, you can't come to me and tell me how to pull for my team, because that's luck. If somebody won the lottery and walked up to you and said, man, I've won the lottery 5 times, wouldn't you want to know their system?
Yeah.
Evidently, they figured something out. You're like, 5 times? How you do that? What you usually do? What store you go to? If somebody won one, you're like, okay, that's luck. So, one, two, I don't want to hear, don't come at us like that, because you don't have a leg to stand on. Now, if you're the Bradys of the world and you're the Patriot fan base, okay, I got to bow down, even though I can't stand to pray, but I bow down. I respect greatness. But don't come to me with one Super Bowl and tell me what we haven't won in so many years when you hadn't won anything prior, anything after, because that shows you right there how hard Super Bowls are to come by.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, the other thing I like to bring up is that it's been, you know, from 96 to 2002, now we're talking 21, 22 years or whatever. I mean, there's only been in that time frame, out of the 32 teams that have played, there's only been 13 teams that have won the Super Bowl since then.
Thanks.
So you're talking, you know what I mean? You're talking about 22 years, and there's been 13 teams that have won it. So it's not like it's something easy to do, because you're talking about, in that same time frame, you're talking about over half of the league has went that same time frame as the Cowboys have without winning a championship.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you can't sit there and talk. Yeah, I mean, you can. They're like, well, yeah, but we did this in the playoffs. Yeah, but you didn't win the Super Bowl, though. So, you know, like I said, again, if you're happy with participation trophies, then go ahead and pat yourself on the back. But that's not what we're playing
that's
for.
That's not what we're doing. We don't do that over here.
You know what I mean? Like, go ahead. I mean, that's what you're happy over. Okay, but I mean, we play for Super Bowls in the NFL. That's what they play for. Like, they don't play for how many playoff wins you have over the past, you know, 27 years. Like, nobody cares about that. They don't.
Exactly. And, okay, we've touched a lot on the offensive side of the ball, and I know our fandom kind of takes over. We passionate about our Cowboys. You like me. You like lifer as a Cowboy. Let's flip to the defensive side of the ball right quick. You know we got a young lion in Michael Parsons. We don't even have to discuss him. That guy's top tier already. Put him up there top shelf with anybody you can think, whatever position you put him in, DN, linebacker, he's going to go down as one of the best to do. I've seen enough. Verdict is out on him. Surrounding him, what we looking like. Because, you know, before you answer the question, last year to me, what I think about defenses, and I played cornerback in high school too, so I look at a turnover field season is kind of lightning in a bottle. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't depend on that every year with just fumbles, picks, not to that high volume like we did last year.
Right.
Sometimes you fall back to earth and you be somewhere in the middle of the pack, long as you have a ball-hawking defense, sort of like the Bucks back in the day, Ravens. You got a ball-hawking defense and you teach that, you get turnovers. Energy attract the ball. No matter what program you're at, what level of ball, energy attract the ball. So if you're attacking the ball, you're going to get some turnovers. But to that extent we got last year, are we going to be somewhere up there, upper echelon, or are we going to kind of fall back to earth? And what kind of confidence should we have in our defense as Cowboy Nation?
Well, I think, in my opinion, I think the defense is where I worry the least about this team is the defense, because
thanks.
I think that this defense, now I don't know that we'll get as many turnovers as we did last year, but I still think that this defense, the way that they are coached and the way that they play the ball, I think that this defense is still going to get a lot of turnovers. I think they're going to be one of the top defenses in the league again in terms of getting the ball back, because of the way that, you know, that Dan Quinn coaches this defense. You know, he teaches that, you know, that aggressiveness and that, you know, get the ball back, you know what I mean? That's just kind of his thing. And, you know, we're going into year two of his, you know, of this Dan Quinn defense. So I think that this defense will only progress under a second full season of Dan Quinn. I was excited for him last year. I mean, last year it was a complete turnaround from what we saw with Mike Nolan. So, I mean, I can only imagine what he can do with these guys, some of the guys that he's got now. In year two, I mean, you know, like you said, Parsons, we don't really need to say anything about him. But I mean, year two, that excites me because, you know, typically these players continue to get better over years. So you think, God, you got a guy like him and he's going to get better. You know what I mean? You've got a guy like Trayvon Diggs who it's intercepted 11 balls last year. Do I think he's going to do that again? No, but I think he can get better in other aspects. You know, which is scary for a defense, and you know, or scary for opposing offenses. So, yeah, I think this defense, they got a lot of talent along that defensive line. I think that they're going to be better equipped this year. I think as far as, like, stopping the run, I know there were some times last year we struggled a little bit to stop the run. I think they're better equipped to do that this year with some of the guys they got. I mean, I think they got some superstars along that offensive line, you know, on the outside and on the interior part of the line. So this defense, honestly, top to bottom, excites me. I look at that defense and I honestly don't see – I just don't see any weak spots in that defense. You know, I feel like they got the depth shored up as far as like linebacker goes. You know, when they signed Barr, I think that the cornerback position is great. I thought Jayron Kearse was a great re-sign. I'm glad we brought him back to the fold. So, I mean, I think this team's looking good. And then you got some young guys that are, you know, that were flashing in training camp, you know, a guy like Deron Bland, you know, guys like that that start to excite you and you think, damn, we could get some contributions out of this guy. Or Marquise Bell, you know, an undrafted free agent. I mean, that guy was out there, you know, looking to take people's heads off. He looked like a hard-hitting, you know. So, I mean, yeah, there's reasons to be excited on this defense, and there's a lot of young talent on this defense that I think is just, you know, chomping at the bit to get out there and show, you know, show the NFL world what they're ready to do. I honestly think that this defense is going to finish the year as a top five defense, and I think that can do a lot of things for a team that's already pretty talented on offense. I think that can carry you a long ways if you got an elite defense like that. And I absolutely think we got an elite defense this year.
I'm the same way. I'm right there with you. You mentioned Trayvon Diggs, and I see him get killed on social media. I think that man had to delete his account, and I'm like, I don't understand what people, you know, they seen the little practice drill. I don't know if people don't understand, like, when you're playing a quarterback with no rush, that that's designed for the wide receiver to win. So I didn't really understand that flare-up, but, you know, of course, everything with the star shines brighter, so it exploded. What do you feel Trayvon Diggs' skill set is and where you think he ranks above with the corners? Because to me, I said in his first year, and I was watching all his near picks and near misses and right there on plays and being right there in spots. And I hadn't seen that in years with the Cowboys. Where are you with Trayvon Diggs and what type of confidence do you have in him?
Well, what I like most about Diggs is, like what you said in year one, which we saw a lot of near interceptions. And what I liked about him is that, you know, you often hear about somebody that's trying to hone their craft and trying to get better, you know, and everybody wants to, but, you know, not everybody puts in the work to really do what they set out to do. Well, Diggs, going into last year, said, I felt like I dropped a lot of interceptions. This year, I'm going to make up for it. I'm not going to be dropping interceptions. I'm going to get the interceptions that I dropped last year. And what did he do? He went out and did it. I mean, he did exactly what he said he wanted to go out and do. I mean, exactly. So you see a guy, not only with the confidence that he has, but also the ability to back up what he's talking about. He's like, you know, I'm going to go out and this is what I'm going to do. And then he goes out and shows you. It's one thing to say it. It's another to say it and then back it up. Thanks. And he did that. So I feel like that, you know, I feel like that he is going to, you know, and I feel like that all these people out here, all this outside noise, this, you know, PFF talking about this stat that I had never even heard of.
Never
until,
heard
like,
of
last
it.
Year with Trayvon Diggs. Never even heard of this stat before.
Never
all
heard
of a sudden
it.
Now it's a thing, right? And so now all these people talking about, oh, well, he gave up, you know, he gave up almost 1,000 yards and whatever. So, yeah, that's a chip on his shoulder. That right there is extra motivation. So you motivating a guy that's already hungry. He was already hungry last year. But now you're sitting there and you're talking all this trash about him and everything. And I guarantee you, it's not going unheard. And the thing about it is, you don't hear nobody talk nothing about Jalen Ramsey. But if you look at Jalen Ramsey's third year versus Trayvon Diggs' second year, their stats are almost similar to how many yards they gave up. And you know what? And the thing is, Ramsey had, I think that year he had 3 interceptions. Trayvon Diggs had 11. He had more pass breakups. So his season was overall better than Ramsey. And Ramsey was considered a Pro Bowler in year 3. Everybody's talking about he's an elite cornerback. But now Trayvon Diggs is garbage. Come on.
Man, you broke it down, Kel. Because I'm not understanding where you get this many interceptions. And you're considered I'm like, I've never heard that stat before, never heard it brought up before. With Trayvon, this has become the knock against him. I'm like, are you serious? When you become an impact player like that and give your offense back the ball, I don't want to hear about how many yards allowed. This is at the end of the game, this is a touchdown, and I haven't seen him do that yet. I've seen some blown coverages where he's expected help over the top, and he can be too, because a lot of people that hadn't played DB don't understand the nuances of that position. That DB position, unless you know, hey, they in cover 2, hey, they in bump and run, hey, they in cover 3, single high up top, you don't know if he's bumping a guy, releasing him, and thinking he's had safety over the top. Because I've been in that position where I look back and my eyes get big, helped and rolled over to the side over a pump fake, and you're chasing a play, and you look like the guy that got beat. That's not the case with a cornerback at all times. The cornerback, to me, is the hardest position on the field. You're playing the fastest guy on the field that knows where he's going, and you have to guess and be right and mimic that motion and get there and beat him to the spot. When you're an elite corner, you're a different type of athlete. So everything you just said about Trayvon, I'm glad somebody said it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I've gotten to the point where, honestly, I just kind of walk away from them conversations no more, because I'm just like, look, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, there is not one defensive coordinator in this entire league, not one, that would sit there and tell you that they would not take Trayvon Diggs and his 11 interceptions. The man had more interceptions by himself than several teams' defenses collectively. So, I mean, there ain't one defensive coordinator, not one in this league, if you ask them, hey, would you take Trayvon Diggs and would you take those 11 interceptions, even though he gave up, 900 and however many yards, I think it was like 950, they would look at you and be like, are you stupid? Like, do you know the game of football? Like, hell yeah, I'm taking those 11 interceptions. Hell yeah, I'm taking All-Pro. I'm taking me a Pro Bowl cornerback. Like, yes, in his second year that he did this already. Something that ain't been done in like 50 years. Like, come on now.
For real.
Like, it's just a ridiculous argument that I just, like, you know what, sometimes my grandpa one time, he told me a long time ago, he said, sometimes you have to know that you can't entertain stupidity.
Man.
And it's true. Sometimes you cannot entertain stupidity, because for your own sanity, you need to just walk away from it. Just walk away.
And what I want the Cowboys Nation to know, what you said early, he might not have those 11 interceptions anymore, because what people don't understand is, once you built that reputation, if you drop down to 5 or 6, that's not considered a bust when they're not throwing your way, and you can roll help over to another corner that might not be as strong as you. That's considered a win. Because what people didn't understand about Deion, he don't tackle, he don't do this. He shifted the power of the whole NFL when he went from San Francisco to the Cowboys, winning the Super Bowl or whatever. But he gave defensive coordinators the flexibility to do what the hell you want. I got this side. Do what the hell you want with everybody else. I'm going to lock this side down.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And I mean, if you don't think that NFL quarterbacks are coming into this season
knowing,
and they looking over there at number 7 thinking, should I throw this way? Mm-hmm. You got 11 picks last year. You don't think they're going to have some second thoughts about that? I agree with you 100%. I mean, that only helps our secondary, and I guarantee you there's quarterbacks that are going to be second guessing. There's probably offensive coordinators that are out there, and when they game plan, they're like, hey, let's keep the ball away from 7. We don't need to really throw it his way, because chances are, if he gets a chance at it, that's a pick.
He's going to make a play.
Yeah, he's going to make that play, because I mean, you don't really see him drop interceptions. I think maybe I only seen him drop like maybe 2 the whole year last year. Wasn't very many. I mean, if it hit his hands, it was coming back in his, he had it. It was locked up.
Like we used to say on Madden, when that screen reversed, when that screen flipped and it started going back the other way, that's what he did a lot of time. And what people, I want people to understand, wide receiver is family business for them. That's what he started off with. There's not a cornerback out there. You know how most times back in the day in our era growing up, you played DB if you couldn't catch the ball. You was just fast receiver, but you couldn't catch the ball. I want people to understand that he was a standout wide receiver. His brother, Stephon Diggs, standout wide receiver. Catching the ball is what they do for fun around their family. So don't forget that when you think about testing this guy.
Absolutely.
Hey, Kelly, man, I know it's middle of the week. We got a lot of stuff to do. We family guys. I know you real close with Jerry, though, man. If you got Cowboys fans on the ledge, man, like, oh, is it going to be another season? If you could tap into Jerry for us, man, and kind of let us know, what would Jerry tell us to kind of walk us off the ledge and tell us what we need to do as Cowboy Nation this year?
Well, now, what we have to do as Cowboys fans and Cowboys family, we need to bond together as one whole. That's Cowboys Nation. Now, many people are involved in the nation, and if we elude panic, and that's what other people see from the outside. But we should never have panic. We have done what we need to do. We have the right people in the building to make the decisions and the talent. We got a quarterback that is a Kentucky Derby winning racehorse right there in Dak Prescott. And let me tell you, there's not another quarterback in this league I'd like to have under center than Mr. Prescott. We've got some things. We've got some special things up our sleeve this year. So for all these doubters out there, what you got to know is I have made my bones proving people wrong. I did it when I bought the Dallas Cowboys and proceeded to win 3 Super Bowl titles. And while it's been a very long time, it's our time. And we have to seize the moment.
Yes, sir. Like, we just got our State of the Union address from Mr. Jerry Jones himself. Kelly, man, I've enjoyed this interview, man. I've enjoyed talking to you, man. I shot you my number. You locked in. Cowboy Nation is family. I don't care. All over the world, when I see that start, it's family, man. Especially knowledgeable fans like you, man. If you want to tell people how to keep up with you, man, let them know how to keep up with you so they can get more cowboy content, nice, good fun, banter. Guys, a hell of a follow on Twitter, man. Tell them how to keep up with you.
Yes, sir. You can follow me. It's at KellyK9. So, yeah, you can. And once you type that at KellyK9 in, I think there's only, I'm pretty sure there's only one of me. So it's pretty easy to find. It ain't going to be hard to find. You'll probably see a Jerry Jones video pinned at the top of the profile. So if you see me in a video and you hear Jerry Jones' voice, that's me.
That's my guy. Hey, I told you early on, but I want to tell you again, man. Thank you for taking the time to sit down and talk to me tonight. I know you're, like I say, family guy. You do a lot for your kids, man. I love seeing that, man. Anytime you in Texas, people don't know, this is a real OG on the phone, man. This guy still drank OE, man. This is a real gangster right here, man. I want to say I got you, man. You come down here, I got you with an OE, man. But I appreciate you taking the time with me tonight, man. AVG Podcast, always visualize your goals. And after that, accomplish those visualized goals. 9/11, gone.